And so I'm going to be teaching on from this book, Worship Heals. And I've been amazed as I've been traveling. I was in New Zealand last week, and I just got back to Australia and then here. But it was supposed to be a pastor's conference, and we were just talking before the meeting, and I taught from this book some of it, and I started singing over people, and they started getting healed and stuff. And so at the end of the meeting, I said, "How many people get healed?" Now this was mostly a lot of pastors and believers. It wasn't a unbelievers meeting. And I was kind of shocked because so many people put their hand up instantly that they got instantly healed. And it's exciting. That's the season that we're in. We're in a season where we're going to see the most incredible stuff happen in the body of Christ. Amen? So I want you to open up your heart. Sometime I may speak prophetically into this, but we're moving in such a dimension of God's timing that we're going to see amazing things take place. And there's an anticipation. Wherever I go, I can sense an anticipation in the body of Christ that we're on the brink of something massive. Yes. Amen. You can feel it. You know, it's like you don't even have to preach it and try and prove it. It's like you can feel that there's something happening, right? Yes. There's something going on. And we're right at the very brink of that. So we praise God for that. So, you know, so I wrote this book, and I wrote the book because couple of things, but I had a great friend who passed away, Kim Clement, and great music ministry, great prophetic ministry. Some of you may know him. I traveled with him, and we became very close. But he passed away about 2 years ago, and it really bothered me big time. It really bothered me. And then when you as a pastor, you know how many people in your church, our church is about your size, and you know who's sick and who's not sick and what they're going through and stuff like that. And, you know, when I travel, I sense that as well. So many of the body of Christ are sick, and it shouldn't be that way, right? We're supposed to be well. Yes. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to be well. So I thought about that a lot, and I thought, you know, the body of Christ, we cannot be sick, especially this generation. We cannot afford to be sick. This is a generation that's going to hopefully take it into the very last stretch. Amen? So we got to go, we got to be strong, we got to be fit, we got to be right for God, amen? Because this could be the last stretch. But Jesus is not coming back for a church that's a weak church in the sense that, you know, we're just complaining and moaning and, you know, just getting through. You know, he's not coming back for that kind of church. He's coming back for a glorious church, you know, a powerful church. He's coming back for a church that walks above the circumstances of the world. Is that right? I mean, otherwise, you know, if we don't believe that, then this is just a game. It's just, you know, we might as well play tennis on a Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, does someone play tennis on a Sunday morning? But he's a church man, so he comes to church. He's okay. But you know what I'm saying? Amen? But you know what I'm saying? I mean, if it's not real, we might as well just do something else. You know, if there's not excitement in this, if there's not power in this, if there's not results in this, then why are we bothering? I mean, why should we bother? Let's do something else and at least enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? But we're supposed to come to church and enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy the promises of God. He's promised us so much. So we're supposed to enjoy it. So I don't want to preach. I want to do the sermon. I want to do the teaching. So anyway, I wrote this book because it bothered me how many people are sick. And, you know, I can say, you know, I thank God for it, but, you know, I've never spent a night in hospital. And I'm healthy, I'm strong. And I think it's something to do with worship. I think there's something there, there's a connection. I know there's a connection between intimacy and health and healing. And I'm going to go through that this week. So don't miss any of the meetings because I'm going to speak, as Pastor Cindy said, I'm going to speak different every time. The opening thing I'm going to open up with is going to change your life if you get a hold of this. If you grasp this one message, you can walk out of here today with a transformed thinking in terms of your life. And let me start. Slide number one. I don't do slides a lot, but okay, there we go. It's working. So the purpose of the seminar is how much God loves you. I want to show you that. He wants you healed and healthy, obviously, and how to receive healing and stay healthy through worship. Is that okay? Yeah. So Jeremiah 31:3, it says this: "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love." God loves you with an everlasting love. So it's taken an eternity for God's love to reach you. Just think about that. It's taken an eternity for God's love to actually reach you. He loves you so much. And here you and I are today, you know, receiving that love that he's been keeping for us for all eternity. You know, so he loves us so much. So why does people get sick? I mean, I can't answer those questions. There's many reasons. There's things that we know and things that we don't know. But let's not focus on the things that we don't know. Let's focus on the things that we do know. We do know God's word. And God says he wants us whole and healed. Is that healed and whole? Is that right? So why do people get sick? Poor diet, probably one of the big things. A lack of exercise, sleep is another one. Unattended stress is a massive reason why people get sick. Ignorance of God's word. That is a tragedy that as born-again believers, we're ignorant of God's word regarding healing. That should never be. But there's one worse than that, and it's ignoring God's word. So there's people who just don't actually care. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, healing's in the Bible, but don't really care too much, you know. Never really taking the time until you get sick, which is usually too late. For a lot of people, it's too late to actually study the scriptures regarding healing. So that unattended stress thing, I'm going to go into that a little later in the week. But, I mean, God has a lot to say regarding that, regarding being anxious and how we can remedy that. And, you know, for everything that plagues us, there is a remedy that God has given us his word. There's a way out of it. There's a way to live above all of that. So we got to focus on the things that we do know. What do we know? We know that God's word says that we are already healed. We do know that. We can't explain a whole lot of the other stuff. I don't know why some people are sick. I don't know why some people, you know, die prematurely. I can't explain all of that. So you know what? I'm not even going to try. But what I do know what the Bible says, and I've got to focus on what the Bible says. Amen. That's what we've got to focus on. And that'll help us. So it says in Psalm 147, verse 3, the Amplified Bible, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrows." So God is into healing, big time. Amen? Amen. Thanks for your enthusiasm. That was really good. I thought you Americans were very out there, you know. Maybe you're just like the Aussies. I'm just kidding. Okay, so slide number 3. We're doing good here. So the tripartite nature, we're going through this. This is just preliminary stuff. We're going through this very quickly. So we're made up of 3 parts: spirit, body, and soul. The spirit connects us to the spirit realm and affects our eternal destiny. Is that right? Yeah. Depending on the condition of your spirit, is going to affect your eternal destiny. The body connects us to the natural realm, and that affects our temporal life, everything that we live and experience right now. But the soul is the interface between the spirit and the natural realm, the mind renewed by God's word, to put it there. So this affects everything. You know, we're going to get into this. I'm going to get into this on Wednesday. But there's been a lot of emphasis on the fact that we have to renew our minds. But there's even something greater than that, which is the condition of the heart regarding healing. The heart is the big one. The mind is huge because we've got to renew it. But there is something more important regarding the heart, and because that's what God looks at. So we're going to see that connection later this week, that if the condition of your heart is right, then healing just flows like that. It's just such an easy thing. So, all right. So when I was thinking of all of this, I thought, you know, Lord, how does it actually work? I'd love to know how this works. How does healing actually work? And I was surprised when God showed me this. We can go to the next slide, slide 4. promise of a long life, it actually, or healing, it actually starts with our revelation of having a long life. This actually surprised me. But, you know, I was thinking about it, that if you don't actually, and this is something I want you to be clear this morning before you leave this place, that you're going to live long, that you're not going to die prematurely. A lot of people are not sure. A lot of Christians are not sure. But we've got to be convinced that we're going to live long, because if you're, that's number one to health. If you're convinced you're going to live long, then what happens is, and you start to thank God for that, your body will start preparing itself for that eventuality. Amen? Amen. If you don't, this is a real key. If you don't believe you're going to live long, because your body doesn't know the difference, right? Your body doesn't know the difference. Your body actually doesn't know the difference between reality and an imagination. That's why renewing the mind is so important. Your body doesn't know the difference. But if you and I start to believe that we're going to live long, then you probably will. Amen? And everything will start coming in line for that to become a reality. But if you don't believe you're going to live long, then you will open yourself up to all kinds of stuff that can happen in the now. Amen? So number one then is we're going to live long. So they said the neuroimaging, I'm going to quote this to you. Neuroimaging has shown that as we age, the center of cognitive gravity tends to shift from the imaginative right brain to the logical left brain. As this neurological tendency presents a grave danger, it does present a grave danger. At some point, this is what happens. At some point, most of us stop living out of imagination and we start living out of memory. So we switch. We switch. Instead of creating the future, we keep repeating the past. I'm going to get into this a little more this week. This is a cycle that we can get trapped in, that we can get caught in. So the point is this, that we must always think of a future and dream of a future. But even that, the future, and I'll go into this, I'm trying to go step by step. But even that is not enough, because we got to get a revelation of the present. The future is important, but the present is more important than the future. I know that might not make a lot of sense to you at the moment, but we'll go into that as well. Amen. So I'm just kind of giving you things that we're going to look at. But the point there is this. Never let your memories exceed your dreams. Ever. When you stop dreaming, you start dying. Abraham Lincoln, your president, said this. When you stop learning, you're old, whether you're 20 or whether you're 80. So you have to keep the mind active. You have to keep learning. And we'll get into this as well, what actually happens in the brain when you do that. So if all you can think about is how life used to be, you know, the good old days. The good old days ain't going to come back. The good old days have gone, right? They'll never come back again. I mean, you can talk about the good old days, but when I go back to South Africa, I was there a month ago, you know, and you talk about, you know, the move of God that we had in South Africa, it was great. And I was part of that, and it was exciting to be part of that. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's come and gone, and we can learn from it. There's a lot we can learn. But really what we've got to focus on is the now and the future. Amen? Amen. So if we keep talking about the good old days, it means that our brain, you know, we're using the same circuitry in our brain regarding something that's dead. Amen? Yeah. It's gone. It'll never come back again. So, you know, so the brain doesn't get overly excited about that. Why? Because it'll never come back again. But the mind, the brain gets excited when you start thinking about the future, because there's an anticipation of what's going to come. Amen? So, that's what they say. I'll quote this. I don't know who said this, but it was great. Maybe it was me. I can't remember. I think this was me. When you stop talking about the old days, and think and talk and act out your future, listen to this, you will birth new levels of faith that will propel you towards supernatural accomplishments. Amen. Proverbs 3:1-2 says this, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of a life worth living and tranquility. And it keeps, you know, this word keeps coming up, and it's going to come up throughout this seminar. This whole dimension, Pastor Cindy brought it up this morning, this whole dimension of peace and tranquility, it is massive. It is a massive subject, and we have to grasp a hold of it. That's what I'm saying. Don't miss anything this week. I don't know when I'm going to share on that, but I may share on it a few times because I want you to get this whole concept of tranquility and peace in the now. Your best moment is not coming. Your best moment is now. You know, when they say the best is yet to come, that's fine. Yeah, but the best is now. It's actually in the now. Now faith is. Yes, right. Amen? Yes. Faith is, you know, we often get trapped in this whole realm of hope. Because we've actually quoted this. We've said, now we've actually said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's true. But if we just quote that, then we miss the best part because we keep hoping for something. And if we keep hoping for something, you've actually just... You've just admitted that you don't have it. If it's always in the hope realm, then, you know, it means that you don't have it. But it says now faith, which means that you've got it in the now. You're not waiting for it to come. You've actually got it in the now. There's a big difference between those two things. Amen? So now faith will excite you, will get you into that realm of praise because you're so excited that it's happening in the now. Things are happening in the moment. It's not coming. It's actually happening in the now. Amen. So, go back to this again. So, it says there, length of days, years of a life worth living in tranquility, inward and outward, continuing through old age until death. Continue. Now, this is God's word. Continuing through old age until death. These will be added to you. So, it's important. If you start thinking long life and believing long life, praising God for long life, then there's a sequence of events that start to happen. What starts to happen is this, is God, first of all, God will say he actually believes, number one, my word. He actually believes that I have given him long life. Amen. Therefore, what I'm going to do then, this is incredible. What I'm going to do, this is God speaking now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to orchestrate people in circumstances and events along his journey towards long life. Amen. I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. So God will start to set up stuff. My whole life I've lived by this. My whole life has been one of God connecting me with people and just an incredible stuff that just happens. Because I got this vision in 84 of a church in revival. That's what I saw in 1984 when I had an encounter with God for about 40 minutes in my room, and I shared that the last time I was here. But I've been living with that. I've been expecting that, and I've been saying, God, I don't want to die until I see that revival. Amen. I'll just share with you. That's what I've seen. So what do you see? What do you see? I was talking about this, and an elderly lady came up, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Tom, you know, it's great to talk. You know, maybe younger people would get excited about this." And she says, "Well, for me, you know," she's in her late 80s, and I said to her, "Well, wait a minute. Have you got grandchildren or great-grandchildren?" She says, "Yeah, I've got grandchildren." I says, "Well, you know, what is your vision for your grandchildren? What do you see for them? Are you excited about their lives? Amen. What do you see for them?" There's got to be something that you see. Amen. That's going to project you towards the future. And as soon as you start to do that, God's going to orchestrate people and events and circumstances to come along your way for you to fulfill that promise of long life that you're hanging on to. Come on now, man. If God's going to give you long life, if you believe God for long life, then don't tell me it's going to be the most boring thing that ever happened. You know, it's like, oh man, you know, just can't wait to get to heaven. Forget about that. You'll go to heaven, man. But that's not what's exciting. What is exciting is about living for Jesus right now. God is an exciting God who lives in the moment, in the present right now. He wants to do something with your life right now. He wants to transform you right now. He wants to do something for you right now. Amen. That's what's exciting. God is an exciting now God. He's living in the now, and he's an exciting now God to know. Amen. He's energizing the body of Christ. He's doing something incredible to the body of Christ. He's getting us ready for something, and we know it's coming. If we know it's coming, then all of us are going to be part of this great end time move of God. If we think about that, if we anticipate that, like I said to you at the beginning, we already feel that. We don't have to be convinced by preaching. We feel that there's something going on in the spirit. God is preparing the body of Christ for something supernatural. Amen. Just thinking about that and saying, God, let me be part of that. Don't let this go by. Let me be part of this great end time move of God. Even that is enough to keep your life going. Amen. Even that. But if you don't have any of that, then it'll be like, oh, okay, well, you know, there's nothing worse than Christians who are unexcited. Have you noticed? And then we're trying to get people saved. We're trying to bring them to a place. We're trying to get them to a place that's unexciting. Come and join our club, our tennis club. We're the worst tennis players in the world, but you'll love it. It's like, you know what I mean? I mean, so we bring them to church and we're not even excited ourselves. You know? It's like, geez, we're trying to fill our place with unexcited people. You imagine how God feels? It's like, what? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, you know, from God's, it's like, God must think these guys don't even believe what I've said. Because if they did believe what I've said, they would, number one, they would start living, they would start thinking about long life. Amen. The things that they're going to be doing, the people that I'm going to bring across the path, the supernatural connections that God is going to make for you. The supernatural things that God is, he's a supernatural God. He's not a normal God. He's a supernatural God. So long life is huge. So, now let me prove it to you in the Bible. Could you go to your Bibles to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Is everybody okay? I always say that. I don't know why I say that. I don't actually always say it, but I thought I would say it this morning. Luke chapter 2. Now I'm going to show you something incredible here, because this is how God then will start to line up things to come along your path. If you've got a vision of long life, you're going to live long. You're excited about God in the now. God is going to line things up for you. And it says there, it was a time when Jesus was going to be presented at the temple. So we're in Luke chapter 2, we're in verse 25, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So he was waiting. Right? He was waiting in anticipation for something. Can you imagine how excited the guy was? He's waiting for something. He's waiting for the Christ child to come along. Amen? What are we waiting for? We're not waiting for that event, but we're waiting for the next event, the next thing that we know is going to happen, which is going to be a great outpouring in the church globally. Amen. We're waiting for that. So we're much like him. We're in the temple and we're waiting for this great outpouring. We're excited about that. So it goes on and it says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." The Holy Spirit, I declare it to you in Jesus' name, is upon this generation. Amen. The Holy Ghost is upon this generation. The Holy Ghost is upon you now, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're not waiting for something. He's upon you right now. It goes on there and it says, "And it had been revealed to him." It had been revealed to him. What has God revealed to you? "By the Spirit, that he would not see death." He would not see death. Watch this now. "Before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Oh, hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit said to him, "Here's the deal. You've been waiting there, man. So here's what's going to happen. Because you've been waiting in anticipation, you will not die until you've seen this thing fulfilled." Which means you're not supposed to die until you see the thing fulfilled that you've been anticipating in the kingdom. Come on now. You're not supposed to die. You're supposed to live until you see that thing fulfilled. In other words, death could not take him. Death couldn't take him. In fact, he reversed the whole thing. Death couldn't take him until he had seen the thing that God had shown him is going to happen. What has God shown this generation that is going to happen? I preach this all over the place. I'm saying, God, show this generation, show us, get us excited about the fact that we're living in the most exciting time in the history of the church. You know, let's awaken up from the sleep that we're in. Amen. Not you, maybe the people who never came, but, you know, let's awaken, let's arise. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine. I mean, what that word means there is get up, man, from the level of living, the low level of living that you've been living at. Get up from that place and get excited about God. I don't know how else to say it. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Get up. Get excited. God is alive. That was a good one to say amen. But it's fine. You're too late. It's too late. All right. So it goes on there. I'm just kidding. So he came. So watch what it says in verse 27. It had been revealed to him, verse 26 again, that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So then he came in by the Spirit into the temple. Watch this carefully. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he came in by the Spirit. In other words, the timing was now perfect. You see this now? He came in by the Spirit. So God will orchestrate your timing to be perfect, to fulfill the vision that you've seen, whatever that is. Your timing will be perfect. The Holy Spirit will bring you into that in Jesus' name. It says in verse 20, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. You are letting your servant depart in peace. There's a lot wrapped up in that one verse. You're letting your servant depart in peace. In one of the translations, it talks about you're releasing your servant. And that word releasing means this, you're giving permission to go. Amen. In other words, permission is not granted. Watch it from God's point of view. Permission is not granted for you to die until you've seen what you're supposed to have seen. God says, I'm not giving you permission to go, Tom, until you've seen fulfillment of that. As long as you keep following, as long as it's a kingdom thing, right? You have no permission. But what have you seen? So, because some people live and die without seeing anything. No vision, no purpose, no plan related to the kingdom. And so they just live and they die. And you imagine getting to heaven and saying, you know, oh man, I wish I had a second chance at this. I wish I would have woken up and realized what I'm part of, that I'm part of this incredible kingdom, this power that's about to be released. God, let me live to see this. Amen. So that was Simon. He would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So let me get into this right now. I feel like I should go into this now. This whole thing, he says there, and I'm going to get through this a few times. Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in, what does it say in your Bible? In peace. Amen. So he was in a peaceful state up until that time and he was ready to go in peace. That was it. He had seen the fulfillment of what he was dreaming about in God. See, when you're in that place, you will be in a place of peace. Let me just say this to you. I need to go to this. Fulfilling destiny coincides with God's timing. God's timing will be perfect in this. In Luke 2:27, it says there, prompted by the Spirit, this is another translation, he came into the temple enclosure, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for the custom required by the law, prompted by the Spirit, he came in at the right time. And it goes on as another example of this is in the same chapter, Luke 2:36, and it says there, it's talking about Anna the prophetess, and it's a second example of this. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and they reckon she was probably 107, this woman, when you calculate everything, but 107, that's pretty old. Amen. not much enthusiasm there. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was a widow of about 84, then you add the rest, who did not depart from the temple. She did not depart from the temple. Now watch this. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. She did not depart, but she served God in the temple. She went to church every week. She was faithful. She fasted, she prayed, she paid her tithe, she did everything. Amen. She was in the temple. And says in verse 38, here's the timing again. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who look for redemption in Israel. Again, the timing was perfect. And coming in that instant, the Bible says, in that instant, she came in. The very same time, God orchestrated that. And she started to give God thanks. And then I love this last part. It says, and she spoke to him of all those who look for redemption in Israel. So it seemed like her ministry to tell people in Israel, read what it says there, it's profound. Her ministry to tell people in Israel only happened after this event. We don't even know how long she lived. But she started telling people after this Christ event. Amen. Probably at 107. So we don't even know how long she lived because she had a passion to tell. Hallelujah. She had seen something. She had seen the Christ. She had seen the Christ. So there was a passion to tell others about the Christ. If we haven't seen the Christ, I mean really seen the Christ, there will be no passion to tell others. But when we've seen him, when we've come in contact with him, when we know him intimately, there will be. The great end time move of God will be part of that. It'll be through people who've come in contact with God intimately, who know God intimately. It's not going to be very difficult, you know. And it won't be done by the great evangelists or great speakers. It'll be done by simple people, lay people who know, who've been in touch with God. The world will know that they're coming in touch with people who've been in touch with the Most High. Who have you been with? You know, who have you been hanging with? Amen. This will be the great end time move of God. This is how it's going to work. Yeah, we do need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We need all of that. But the end time move of God is going to be basically through individuals who've come in touch, who've come in contact with the living God. And then the timing will be perfect. God will bring people across your path. I was in Singapore, I forget when it was about 2 months ago, and there was this lady, it was at my meetings, and she said, oh, you've had a long trip, Pastor Tom, how's your feet? You've done a lot of teaching. I said, yeah, okay. She says, well, look, I own all these salons, you know, they're like health salons she's got. And she said, would you like to get a massage? I said, I've never had a massage in my life. You know, I don't let anybody touch my body except my wife. That's it. You know, she says, no. You know, she says, no. And she's such a lovely lady. She says, come along and get a foot massage. It'll help you. So I went along and I'm just, I do my stuff. And so I'm finished. And so I'm at the reception place and she comes out. She says, oh, the young lady behind the reception wants to speak to you. And I said, really? She said, yeah. Would you give her a few minutes? And so she came over. Very well dressed, and she said, I don't know, I just need to speak to you. I says, what do you want to talk about? She says, well, I know you're a man of God. I says, well, let's speak about Jesus. I led her to the Lord. I was about to leave, and then the owner came in. She owns about 80 of these places in Singapore. She says, there's another young lady wants to speak to you. She's in the next office. I says, okay. So I led her to the Lord as well. So one massage, And two young women to the Lord. Amen. And I thought, that's pretty good. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and there's other stuff, but the reason I'm saying this, we cannot start thinking this is going to be difficult. Just as I was standing there today with your worship, I felt this word for the church. I felt it's not going to be difficult. It's happening in the now. There is something here in the church. Through you, I can tell a lot of stuff through worship. There is something in your worship that is energetic and exciting. There is something in your worship that is fresh and now. Amen. And so I need to declare this over the church. Things are happening to this church in the now. Not coming, but in the now, things are happening. Amen. And I say this, that people are going to start to get healed instantly. People are going to just start to get healed through your worship. But share that with them. Say, expect your healing to come as we worship God. And you know, you're going to be surprised. Some of them are going to come up after the service and say, I got healed. Come on now. Now, maybe that's happening already. Forgive me if that's already happening. But I mean, there's dimensions and dimensions of this. Amen. People are just going to get, we have to believe God for these supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. And I know Pastor Henry and Pastor Jackie is open to that. That's what's going to distinguish the true church from the false church in the end times. It's going to be the Word and the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. It's going to just touch people's lives. Amen. Thanks for that. I've got you over there, lady, preaching to you. That's great. But you know what I'm saying? This is part of this end time move. It's where we are right now. It's exciting. So let me just say that there's some keys to long life, and then I'm going to declare this over you before we close. There's some keys to long life that may surprise you. Long life is not something you pray for. You don't pray for it. You pray for wisdom and understanding regarding it. And this is the bit that God loves. Because let me read to you the word of God. It says in Proverbs 13 to 16, happy is a man who finds wisdom. Happy is a man who finds wisdom. And a man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and are gained than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. So, long life is a product of wisdom. Asking God, the reason I'm saying it like this is this. What God loves is for you and I to personally come to Him and say, God, I want to live long, but now, how do I do it? Amen. Because all of us are at different levels in different places. So God might say to you, not you, but maybe seating me, lose a little bit of weight. Amen. I'm just saying for me, I'm not looking at anybody, so relax. It might say to me, you know, lose a little bit of weight. So that's what God's saying to me right now. But for you, He may be saying something different. That's why you've got to go to God and say, well, God, you know, what is it you're saying? So God might be saying to you, you know, what you've got to do is read the Bible more. That might be what God is saying for you. But there's got to be something that God is saying. It might be saying, serving the church more, or serving the church. Period. I was looking for the word. It was period. That's why I couldn't find it. Amen. But you know, see that's the wisdom of God. It's like prophecy. You know, people talk about prophecy. Prophecy is exciting. But prophecy doesn't mean that you're going to see anything fulfilled because you've got a prophetic word. Prophecy is actually an invitation to intimacy. Amen. Well, you got a prophetic word, so you go to God and you say, God, you know, how is this word going to? Because listen, man, 90% of the body of Christ has had a word over their lives. But probably 80% of that 90% never see it fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're way in the 90s, 100, and they're saying, yeah, that great prophet came, you know, when I was 20, and he gave me a great word. It was probably a word from God, but it never came to pass. Why didn't it come to pass? Because you never processed it in His presence. Amen? So it's the processing it in God's presence that's important. Not the word, it's the processing of it. Amen? Because that's the time when you're spending time with God, which is the thing that God loves more than anything else. God's not so much excited about the prophetic word that's been given. That's not exciting to God. What's exciting to God is the potential that is in it that you're going to spend time with Him processing it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. From His point of view, we keep seeing things from our point of view, but from His point of view, so what happens is when we do that, then we both are satisfied because we get the fulfillment of prophecy and He gets the fulfillment of intimacy. Amen. It's not the prophecy he's excited about, it's the intimacy because he's a loving God, he's a God in the now. Amen. You know, I just say, you know, the conference I was at, I was myself and another great speaker, great prophet in New Zealand last week, and you know, people, you can see people are excited about getting prophetic words. And he's a great prophet. I love him, man. We operate so well together. But yeah, I said to the people, I said, you know, in front of him, and he agreed. I said, you know, we can prophesy over you, and we did. But I says, that's not what's exciting. Don't come for a word. If you want to come for a prophetic word, you better be prepared for intimacy, because if you don't, your life is going to get worse. Because you'll walk through life saying, I got a prophetic word. Jesus, God's going to use me. I'm going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke or whatever, you know. But nothing ever happens. Reinhard Bonnke was 17 years in the mountains of Lesotho, an African kingdom. 17 years before anybody knew who he was. Amen? We're nearly finished. Let me just go with this. I'm going to pray over you. So you ask God for wisdom and understanding. It says, for by Proverbs 9:11, for by me wisdom from God, your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be increased by wisdom. Amen? So, and then obviously the next thing is how you speak is a requirement to long life. You speak long life to yourself and healing to yourself. Amen? Amen. I wonder if I should go to this. You'll love this. Jeremiah 29:11. This verse has been, as we close, this verse has meant so much to me. I've been meditating on this for months. One scripture, for months. It's not written and it's not in my book. But this scripture, man, it's incredible. Watch this now. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Here's this peace thing again. And not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Is that what it says? That's what it says. What does it mean? God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. In other words, current thoughts. I know, God says, I know what I'm thinking towards you. That's fantastic right away, right? But could I just finish and go home on that? But the fact that God's thinking about us right now. But what is he thinking about? It says there, I think towards thoughts of peace and not of evil to give your future and a hope. Listen, God is not thinking about your future. He's thinking about your peace. He's thinking about your present. This is good. This will change your life. God's not thinking about your future. We talk about our future. We think about our future. We're excited about our future. God isn't. God says, I'm thinking about your present. Because if you can come into a peaceful state regarding your present, then your future is secure. Amen? Because there is no future for you. You know what I'm saying? And there is no past for us. It's all gone. But it is the now. So the now is the moment. I'm going to emphasize this a couple of times during this because this will change your life if you can get hold of this, just this one scripture. So God is thinking about your peace. So when you and I come into a peaceful state, when we're at peace, this is massive. Massive. When you and I are in a peaceful state, our thoughts and our whole being synchronize exactly and currently with God, no matter what's going on. Amen? And what happens then, what happens is this, that your future then will start to line itself up with your present state of peacefulness. Amen? So the best time of your life is not tomorrow. Maybe you're going to Hawaiian holiday, but it's not tomorrow. The best time of your life is right now. We better close. I think our time is up. Amen. I want you to stand quickly. Can we do this, Pastor Cindy?